listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello, everybody. This is Kay Ham, and it's November 28th, 2015, and I'm here on the live stream at Fakeham. And I was just thinking about media fakery, and because I'm, you know, now that the holidays are here and I'm sitting home with my husband and, you know, we have more time to face to face, you know, sitting there in front of each other. So of course it's hard for me to hold my mouth. So, you know, news comes up and especially with the TV, he knows not to watch the news in front of me anymore, but you know, once in a while he thinks he can and then it starts an argument. So anyone out there feeling me on that point? Anyone? Are you feeling the same way I'm feeling? But I thought, how come it's always so difficult? Why is it so difficult to even broach the subject? He has an emotional response for me just questioning. I just question, could it be perhaps maybe some of the footage is filmed ahead in advance? And he was just like, what are you talking about? What are the... And right away, there's an emotional response. Instead of saying, I would expect an intellectual response, such as, well, you know, do you think that's possible? What would be their motives in doing that? No, right away. If you talk, if you hear Lennon Armour, he says there's a reason for that. The emotional response is the subconscious's trauma it's experiencing. It's the expression of the subconscious trauma about shaking up their worldview. And it makes sense because they believe a certain way. And if you're telling them their belief system is wrong, they're going to experience subconscious trauma like my husband does. Well, anyway, I was thinking how to ease that subconscious trauma, how to ease people into media fakery. What's their roadblocks and believe in it? Well, one of the roadblocks is I've been on TV. You can't tell me TV's fake. I've been on it. I saw myself on TV. You're saying I'm fake. And that's a common, although I've not like heard it in media ever, but talking to people, that's a common thing I hear. I've been on TV. How's that fake? And that's a good one too. If you don't think past, and if you don't intellectually go to the next step, so are you saying then 100% of the TV is real then what you see? 100% is real because what you know is real? Or could you perhaps consider part of what you view might not be real? I mean, you TV shows, they're not real, we know. They claim not to be. So now you have to say, yeah, there is stuff that's not real on TV. It's TV shows. All right. So now between TV shows and what's real, what's in between that? Still no. Can't even get that far with my husband because he gets upset. So I got to stop talking. But to go back to that argument about TV is real because I've been on TV, I think it's such a good argument. Every member of my family's been on TV. My son was in the Daffodil Parade. He was on TV several years in a row. My husband was on TV. He was at the airport picking up a cousin, and they were interviewing people. Hi! It was like Channel Como TV4, one of these news stations. You know, she's got her coat on, and it's all snowy and blistery. Did you find travel hard? We're like, I don't know. I'm not home yet, sweetie. Just move. I got to get home. But my husband stopped, so he got interviewed about difficulties during traveling during stormy Novembers or Decembers. So he was on TV. My son was on TV because he was for the Olympic legislature for our state. He was doing some student lobbying on behalf of colleges. And so he had testified in front of several committees and those were on TV. One of my daughters was part of a protest against Gaza, and she was on TV, as well as the whole protest. You know, all those people, they're like, hey, we're on TV too. Let's see. No, my husband's been a couple times on TV. Yeah, not just once. He was at a Mariners game, whatever box seat, delicious food and beverage area. So he was on TV. and as well as the entire stadium, they were on TV. They could say, hey, we're on TV. So if you think about it, every public event, every football game, they're all on TV. All these people, they're on TV. Think of how hard, what a psychological blockade that is now to say TV is all of them. So my challenge now to myself is try to think of a way, instead of media fakery, so obvious it's like a hammer hitting them over the head. Maybe there's another way to say it. Maybe you can do it. It's a five. The stories are five. I don't know. Between truth and fake. Stories of one. I was on TV. One. I'm a one. It's a one. That's good. Or maybe reverse it. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking about. Any ideas out there? Any thoughts? What's a gentle way to perhaps broach the subject without creating an emotional response in people? Meaning without causing trauma to their subconscious. That's why we get that response. That's not what we want to do, right? We don't want to cause trauma, but we want to come together on some form of communication. And I think a lot of the COINTELPRO videos that are out there that people watch, I think one of their purposes is to program you on how to discuss these subjects with your loved ones. They take the hammer over the head approach that they 100% know is going to be unsuccessful and create tension. We need another way to discuss it with our loved ones. Just come out and say shit like, just don't come out and say shit like that. Hey, honey, all the news is fake, you dumbass. I mean, that's how they hear it. That's how they hear it. And we all know that too. And so we have stopped discussing it with our loved ones. Yet a lot of these to do exactly what your instincts are telling you not to. So the next time a COINTELPRO video, next time any video says, hey, you better tell people about this, that's messed up. That's really messed up. No, you don't tell people that. They can't handle it. They don't understand the hours and hours and hours and hours of research we've done. There's no way they can understand our mentality or thing. There's no way. It's not going to happen. Not ever going to happen. They haven't done the research and they're not going to do the research. So no, you don't go that. They're not going to believe it. They're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're out of your mind. So no. So what I've been trying to think of is holiday season. I'm stuck at home with my husband and I got my opinions and he has his opinions, and it does create a little bit of strife in the household. We would have had a pleasant evening had I shut my mouth. There has to be a way for people to come together on some level without creating emotional trauma to the subconscious on either side of that fence. That's what I'm just thinking. And not talking about it at all, I don't think is a solution. So if that's what you were going to say, good try. Good try, but at a point, I think something has to be discussed, but in a delicate way. So you can have unity again in your marital unit. And you know what? Lennon Honor says people see some stuff on purpose and they make sure you see it on purpose to create this divide in this community. Why is the divide so black and white? He says, why is it so either you believe or you don't? And it's a huge, huge divide, by the way, huge. You're either on one side or the other. No one's on the fence on this, is media fakery, I'm saying. No one's on the fence about media fakery. Is you, really? And you could say, well, some people believe some things and not others. Well, then you're on the don't believe media fakery side. You're on the one event is lying. That side is controlled opposition. And that side of the fence, people in limbo, that it's the inside job that are bad for the whole system. What do we have in common? What do the non-media fakery people and the media fakery people have in common? Well, what we have in common is that we're all victims of media manipulation. That's what we have in common. We are both sets. We are victims. The stress and the trauma created by the Paris event hit everybody. Oh my God, my poor coworkers were so stressed out. And you know, I'm stressed out now because I know there's a lot of fakery involved and they don't know there's fakery involved. It creates stress among everybody. That's what we have in common, is that it creates negative emotions. My daughter, she was over here for Thanksgiving. You know, the whole family got together. And she's all upset. She's got such a good heart. And she's all upset over these people getting killed. And then she's all upset over the Arab hating. And then she wants to make a difference. And she wants to make things better. And she wants to show the world that Arabs aren't these evil things they show on TV. Boy, if I thought I wasn't ready for the Arab hating to start again, my kids weren't ready for it. I married a Muslim man about 30 years ago, so my children, he's Palestinian. My children are half American, half Palestinian. So they're just not Arab. They're like the terrorist Arab Palestinian. And they live through a lot of that in the media, knowing that their kind were this hated breed on TV, watching Arnold Schwarzenegger try to kill a bunch of Arabs that are cruel and want to hurt people when they know the reality to be quite different. I grew up in the Arab community here in the state of Washington, and they only ever met kind, gentle, some jerks like any other population. You got your good guys, you got your bad guys. You got your hard workers, you got your lazy people. You have your healthy people, you got your sick people, old people, young people. It's all the same. So they were confused when they saw these evil people on TV. They're like, I don't get it. That doesn't match my reality. So my daughter's telling me how sad she is about how ignorant people are all Arab hating again and mean posts on Facebook. And it's hurting her inside. It's really making her feel bad about humanity. So I want to ease my daughter's pain. Let her know perhaps not all those people you thought died because their names aren't being released to the French in the French media so no one can fact check. Well, I didn't help anything. Because you know what? The fact is, the haters are already out now. The media is already making Arabs super bad guys and already acting like they're sleeper cell things and like, you know, they're just waiting to attack. There's Arab around every corner. And that's the thing that everyone has in common is that myth is out there, whether it's true or not, it's out there. My daughter's being hurt by it. So is my other kids, as well as all Muslims, as well as all Arabs in this world and community. So what do we have in common? The people who believe there might be fakery involved in this event and the rest of the population, stress and anxiety and negative feelings. That's what we have in common brought on by this event. So that's a good place to start. It's a good place to begin communication, acknowledge their discomfort, acknowledge. So, you know, maybe my husband wants to come and say about what he heard on the news. I'm going to say, wow, that seems like it's causing you a lot of anxiety. He's like, yeah, it does. And then there you go. And here's my overall plan, though. Just come and think about this. Acknowledge the anxiety it's causing them. Acknowledge it for a couple months. Just acknowledge anytime someone's comes to you and tells you about a horrific event and acknowledge, say, wow, that must stress, that looks like that's stressing you out. Wow, it looks, and see if they agree with you. Yeah. So acknowledge it. Or it looks like what you're telling me, this is really stressing you out. What else could you say? Or just go, wow, yeah, that really sounds like a sad event. Just acknowledge how, what they're trying to tell you. And that's what we have in common. Then we can start talking about that. And why do we want to start talking about that we're all both stressed out? Because that's the key to this. That's the whole purpose. This is so if we can acknowledge each other's fear and stress caught on by this, then maybe we can move to the next level with our loved ones. That I know Lennon Honor has some pretty good tapes. If you want a guy, I should probably start a post. But I don't have it finished. I don't know. I just have a start. At least meet on common ground. That's one. That's at least what I know. And when I started doing that with my husband, it calmed him down. When I said, wow, this is really upsetting you, huh? And he was like, yes, and la, la, la. And then he just was able to communicate fully. And then he's like, there you go. I'm on the same page as my wife now. He felt good. And it kind of helped relieve some anxiety to get that out. And I experimented first. I'm not telling you to do something I didn't try. I experimented on my own family. And I did that with my daughter. And then she was, and she felt closer to me as well. It's like, wow, we're really communicating now. You understand me now. You get me now. I'm like, yeah, I wanted you to move past it, but they're not there yet. Yeah, I will show you that I understand what you're going through. But any of you have any other ideas how we can communicate with loved ones that we're stuck inside with for long periods of hours on common ground of things? You know, what do we have in common now? Because, boy, I'll tell you what, current events is a huge, huge part of our lives. So now I have this entire subject matter I'm not allowed to discuss with my husband because my views are so extreme and he knows he can't talk with me. It creates huge divide. So now I'm trying to let him talk about it and then just acknowledge what we have in common, which is the stress he's feeling And I know everyone else feels it too. My God, when anyone gets killed and the media tells you you have to feel sad about it, you feel obliged to feel sad about it. They're stuck. And the way they say it in the media, it's like, if you're a caring, thinking person, you better be sad right now. So because most people think of themselves as caring and feeling and thinking, they have to oblige. I better be sad if I'm all those things. And thank you for listening. That's just Kay Ham spiel. I'm just thinking how we can talk on common ground. And I think the divide that's set up on purpose so that we don't communicate with each other, you got to find a way around that, because that's not helping anybody. And Michelle, I really, really enjoyed our talk the other day. Sorry, my audio was so bad. It's so embarrassing. I don't know what's going on. I think somehow my volume, I don't have that worked out yet. But she gave me the idea. But thank you, Michelle, for giving me this amazing idea. All right. Take care and have a good break in November. This is November 28th, 2015. And this is Kay Ham at fakeologist.com.
Hi, this is Errol C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.